This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Noel and Chuang. We're continuing now the discussion of whether we're entering a new bipartisan era of Malaysian politics. This, of course, after the joint statement between Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob and Pakatan Harapan leaders on Wednesday, where they agreed to strengthen the parliamentary institution. This move is being seen as a truce between the government of the day and opposition parties to minimize politicking and address the COVID-19 crisis.
Yes, truce for now, apparently. Anyway, one of the suggestions that have been put forth by DAP's Lim Guan Eng is for a bipartisan national economic turnaround plan to help distressed Malaysians and businesses. So Lim Guan Eng is, of course, the former Minister of Finance under Pakatan Harapan.
So for more on these suggestions and also what DAP's strategy will be moving forward, we have the man himself, YB Lim Guan Eng, Secretary General of DAP and a Member of Parliament for Bagan. Good morning, Guan Eng. Thanks so much for joining us today. Let's start with your proposal. You've called for a bipartisan national economic turnaround plan, which involves an immediate injection of 45 billion ringgit in federal funds. What has been the feedback from the Prime Minister to this proposal?
Well, there has been a positive response. And I think all of us realize the calamitous proportion of the economic crisis, as well as the health crisis. So I think it is time for us to refocus our energies on winning the battle against COVID-19 and pulling the economy out of our current recession.
Yeah, all Pakatan allies in full agreement with this plan, YB, Guan Eng?
Oh, the 45 billion, yes, that is Pakatan Harapan's policy.
And what are the key initiatives from this plan that you must see in Budget 2022 before you would give your support for the budget?
The 45 billion capital injection should be immediate. We cannot wait until the 2022 budget. It may be too late. And this, when you talk about the 45 billion economic turnaround plan, 30 billion ringgit must be reserved for these businesses, SMEs, in the form of grants, incentives and subsidies, especially utility and rental subsidies. It cannot be given in the form of guarantees and loan credits. I do not think that would help businesses survive. What they want is direct grants. The situation is quite distressing. And if we want to help Malaysians who have lost their jobs or prevent business closures, there must be a bold capital injection. And 45 billion ringgit, which comprise not only 30 billion, but also welfare aid, 6 billion, 4 billion to enhance health support system and also vaccine.
Okay, so this 30 billion ringgit is a major piece. What happens if the Minister of Finance, the new person, does not take this up? How would Pakatan respond? Would it continue to want to cooperate with Sabri's government?
Well, I think we can of course, discuss on the specifics. But there must be a bold capital injection. One of the reasons why, after 8 stimulus packages of the previous government since 1st of March last year, did not work because the initiatives were not bold enough. There was not enough capital injection. Capital injection, despite 530 billion ringgit, was only around 83 billion. So what can 83 billion ringgit do when you're facing economic losses of more than 500 billion ringgit? That's why we are talking about a turnaround plan until the end of the year of 45 billion. And in budget 2022, that is for the whole year of 2022. We want immediate action. We want immediate implementation.
Okay, Guan Eng, but given the current fiscal situation, how would the government fund such an injection? After all, there is very limited fiscal headspace at the moment.
Okay, Malaysia still have capacity for borrowings. We've got a 1.3 trillion domestic debt market. And of course, there are also other measures, but I wouldn't want to, teach the finance minister what to do. I'm sure the future finance minister would know the resources available and, of course, the funds available if they are bold enough to implement them. What is needed now, we are facing a crisis situation. You cannot rely back on normal, orthodox financial measures. You must take bold steps because the people need help. Businesses need help. If you don't do that, we are talking. What was the point of talking about fiscal space when people are losing their livelihoods?
Yeah. So, Guan Eng, you know, the economists have said that, yeah, the debt ceiling headroom beyond 60% will definitely happen. So the $45 billion, if it happens, will go through. But then what about the budget 2022? What happens? Will it be read in conjunction with that? Will it be in addition to that? And how will budget 2022 be formulated?
No, it definitely should be in addition to that. I mean, you talk about $45 billion. There are some economies that actually propose an even larger amount. So what we are suggesting is something very prudent. And I think if it is not enough, I think budget 2022 should be able to try to bridge the gap.
Guan Eng, let's talk about this meeting that you had with Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri and other opposition leaders this week. Could you tell us what was discussed during this meeting? And apart from this apparent truce, what else was talked about?
I think we want to focus our energies on winning the battle against COVID-19. I think there was an agreement there. And of course, helping Malaysians who are devastated by the economic recession. And of course, thirdly, institutional reforms. I think these are the three main areas. And we talk about institutional reforms. We must give hope to the future generation. I think one very key plank, which one is on the COVID-19, two is, of course, the economic turnaround plan so that we can put Malaysians, workers and businesses back onto their feet. And third, institutional reforms. I think there's general consensus that we must strengthen parliamentary and electoral reform so that the constitutional rights of Malaysians are protected. And one of the key planks, of course, is the anti-hopping law. This has actually created widespread disgust against the entire political system. If we want to show that the political system is not broken, we must have an anti-hopping law. And we see a positive response there.
Okay, we're speaking about all this anti-hopping and the politics of it, right? Pakatan Harapan failed to secure support from GPS earlier, and GPS had also made known much earlier that it does not support a coalition that includes DAP. You know, in preparation for G15, ensuring that some sort of political stability, how will you mend ties with GPS?
Why should we be talking about mending ties with parties that does not have a rational basis for cooperating across parties? If they are so dead set against the DAP or against Anwar, then why is it that when we meet the Prime Minister to discuss about cross-party collaboration to fight COVID-19, they are also part of the government's coalition. So I think it is a contradiction in terms. They are looking more through their political lens rather than through the national lens of winning this critical battle against COVID-19.
Okay, Guan Eng, I believe that I agree. I think this truce or this bipartisan cooperation, if it's able to produce the outcomes of winning the battle against COVID-19, that would be a good thing. But I want to ask, how will you ensure that whatever collaboration or agreement with the current government is actually going to be binding and effective? What are your assurances that we'll actually see positive developments on this?
I think there must be milestones. That milestones must be met. And then there should also be some sort of implementation or monitoring committee to ensure that various measures or various proposals agreed upon are indeed executed. And thirdly, I want to stress that this is not a unity government. A unity government would then mean that everybody is part of this coalition government. We are not. We are still in the opposition. We will still put up our own candidates in the general elections. We still feel that we are the better alternative for Malaysians. But what we want is that we got to put our political partisanship aside so that we can fight for issues that Malaysians care about most. That's, again, COVID-19 and the current economic recession. So when you talk about a truce, I prefer to talk about a moratorium. But a moratorium that counts,
A moratorium that counts. Okay. I think, okay. All right. Yes?
Yeah. Okay, Guan Eng, one question. Has DAP done some soul searching with regards to the mistakes when it was in government and its inability to return to Putrajaya since the Sheraton movement?
Well, when you talk about the attempt to regain back our electoral mandate, it just boils down to the fact that there are MPs who put their own political survival or their political interests first. And we have tried, of course, to reclaim that mandate, and that has not been successful, and we have remained loyal to the principles of Pakatan Harapan. But I think that when the country is facing a national crisis, you got to put that aside. I think what matters most is to save Malaysian lives and livelihoods.
Guan Eng, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That was YB Lim Guan Eng, Secretary General of DAP and Member of Parliament for Bagan, speaking to us about bipartisan cooperation and what this could look like and whether it'll be enough to combat COVID-19.
Yeah, I think obviously the focus has to be on fighting COVID-19. It's not just a public health crisis, an economic one as well. And hopefully for now, for the next 2 years, we'll see some peace on the political front.
Well, for sure, 45 billion ringgit will go a long way because it's half the, you know, half the direct fiscal injects from the last 8 stimulus. Definitely, it'll be a big shot in the arm. And then, of course, that will coincide with the vaccination program and the opening of borders. It will really provide some kind of turbocharging to the economy. And if it does happen, that'll be fantastic.
I would be curious to see then who is our Minister of Finance and whether he would take these suggestions on board, whether there'll be further discussions with the opposition on this 45 billion ringgit injection. We will have to wait and see. We'll be watching this space very closely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.